Hi, this is Clarissa Jacobson from Lunch Ladies, and you're listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 219, and I am Kevin.
And I am Simon.
I'm Daniel.
I understand I'm the intern.
And he's back from ballet class, people. Isn't that great?
Ballet class?
Oh, where have you been, intern? We all would like to know.
I have no idea.
So he's been a ballet class, I think.
Okay. He's Bishop Tutu?
Yes. Exactly. So what have you been up to, Dan?
Nothing, man. The usual.
Eating Mama Rosa pizza.
Yeah.
Going to Value Village. Looking for DVDs.
No, I've been to Value Village in a while, man. I've been writing a bit more. Getting back into that.
That's good.
You got a haircut today. Don't look like a caveman anymore, so that's good.
Always good.
Kevin, you?
Just a lot of work, my friend. Just a lot of work.
Okay. I guess anybody watch any movies then, since we're here to discuss that topic?
No, not really.
Is that what we're supposed to do? Gee, I thought it was just reading books or something.
I thought we were here for book club, too.
Book club. We're the new S Club 7.
Yes, we are. S Club.
So what's the first movie? Well, you know, actually, I can think of the new S Club 7. Do you know what that is?
No idea.
It's the Shazam family.
Oh, there's seven of them?
They're supposed to be, although only six are in the movie.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Yeah, one more coming, which is a bit of a spoiler, but hey, this is Extra Features.
Yeah, we spoil everything. People spoilers. Aren't aware of that by now. Mm-hmm. We don't care.
Yeah, Shazam starring Zachary Levi, Mark Strong, Asher Angel, Jack Dylan Grazer, Jimon Hunsu, and Grace Fulton.
So, who wants to start?
I think you have to, Kevin. I don't think there's a choice here.
Do I have to? Well, all right.
Peripheral, like, guy.
So, Shazam is the magic word that's said by the comic character formerly known as Captain Marvel. But obviously, because there is a Marvel Captain Marvel, they can't use that name. So, he is basically nameless in this movie. He's Captain Sparklefingers, or is a whole bunch of different, what was it, Thundercrack?
Yeah.
A whole bunch of different names. Essentially, young Billy Batson, an orphan, is looking for his mother, who abandoned him or left him when he was a small child. So he is living with foster parents all over the place. He's not having a good life. He breaks into a police car to steal information on addresses because he's obviously not heard of something called the internet. And, and so that obviously puts him at a foster home where he meets a very nice family, a young couple who has brought in about five other foster kids of various ages, including young Freddie Freeman, who has, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he's slightly crippled. He has to use walker, like a cane stick. So the original Freeman from the comics had, I think he had polio when he was a small child.
You are correct.
And, so I don't think that, this one had polio, but anyway, he's a superhero nut and he collects memorabilia from Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, Aquaman, The Flash, who are all real people in this world of the DC Cinematic Universe. So, we also learn about Thaddeus Savannah, who as a young boy was brought to meet a wizard, and the wizard rejected him, but seduced him with the power of magic, which has driven him a bit crazy over the years. So he is trying to find a way back to meet the wizard, and he does, and he manages to break out and take the power of the seven deadly sins as an adult. He's now Mark Strong. And he has a scar and a lightning bolt on his forehead or something like that under his eye. And he has superhuman powers. So
Harry Potter?
He's kind of like Harry Potter, yeah. Now, he's unlike the comic Thaddeus Savannah, who's a little guy. He's about 4 feet tall, and he's kind of hunched over with glasses and stuff. But he's a super genius. He's like a super scientist. This guy, I don't know what he is. He is a doctor, but... Anyway, he's looking for the power of Shazam, and the wizard's looking to import it on somebody, so he finds Billy, gives him the power. Billy transforms into an adult superhero, doesn't know what his powers are, so he gets Freddy to help him test him, and there's a lot of fun as they try them out. You know, what do you have? Can you fly? Are you super strong? They go to get beer at a store, and the store gets robbed, so they find out the hard way that he's bulletproof. Or has bullet immunity. and then they don't like beer very much, so they load up on sweets and, have fun. Like, generally, it's like a bunch of, like, what would a kid do, a 14-year-old kid do if he discovered he had superpowers? And Zachary Levi, I think actual Billy Batson is more mature than Zachary Levi as Shazam, but...
Yeah,
still a lot of fun to watch, and he certainly looks right as Captain, well, as Captain whatever,
Sparkle
Thundercrack.
Captain Sparkle Fingers.
So, I don't know, I enjoyed this movie a lot. I thought, I am glad that I read the New 52 version of Shazam 2 nights before seeing the movie, because this is pretty much a direct adaptation of the Shazam family origin story from the New 52. The only thing is that Black Adam was in that story as the villain. And this one elevates Thaddeus Savannah to that role. So instead of just being a side villain.
Okay.
Lots of fun bits, lots of great jokes. The personalities I thought were a lot of fun. This is something that has been sorely missing from the DC Cinematic Universe, a sense of fun and adventure. That we've been too Sturm and Drang, apocalyptic, end-of-the-world types of battles with giant things making machines and destroying planets and transforming atmospheres and stuff like that. This is just, like, two superhero dudes with fighting it out, and there are monsters that have to be stopped, and he creates more superheroes by sharing his power. So, overall, I would say this is a movie worth seeing, especially if you've got kids. I think the kids would get a kick out of it. Aside from the young kids have to sort of stick it out because of some pretty heavy violence in some parts.
Which is, like, I think, like, the dark parts and, like, the sin, like, the way that the sins look, especially, like, gluttony and the sloth, like, they're creepy, and I think that's very DC. But, like, I'm curious to see what you think. Like, do you think DC is completely going to fun, or do you think this is just for the style of it that is basically big but with a superhero?
I think DC is going lighter.
Okay.
They tried to go a little lighter with Aquaman, too. They had a bit of fun with that one.
Yeah, and at the end of Justice League, I think there's a little bit of light at the tunnel there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this just set, like, the premise of it, like, just set it up for, like, just being a fun movie, just like just kind of like a childhood trip kind of thing. It's just fun kids being kids, and then Mark Strong comes to mess up the party, and, like, I love this. Some of the most fun I've had at the movies this year. Like, the only thing I didn't really like about it was that it was gonna end at some point. You know, I just had a blast with it, and the character beats really worked. Like, when Billy was trying to find his mom, and the casting was great too. Like, Zachary Levi, like, even Asher Angel and Jack Dylan Grazer, it was all great. Uh-huh. Okay. And yeah, this is my favorite DC movie so far. I mean, I really like Wonder Woman, but I think I like this one better.
First off, I want to agree with you, Dan. I think this is the best DC movie there is out there. I think it's enjoyable, it's fun, but I want to go into some specifics. Kevin, I have a few issues.
Okay.
I like the movie a lot. I gave it a great score. Don't get me wrong. But I have a question. When Billy Batson shows up to meet Shazam.
Yes.
He doesn't take a test like everybody else has had to.
Right.
Yes, he actually does. The wizard seems to think he's worthy, even though he's, like, even though he's stealing stuff. He still thinks he has some good in him. The wizard thinks he has some good in him.
Does he say that, though?
I think basically, you have to be a fan of a comic to know this. At least we are.
I think he says that, like, oh, like, you're here. No one else is going to come.
Yeah, and just gives it to us.
Yeah.
Does he just give it to him?
Billy makes that argument. He says to me, listen, I'm all you got.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, Billy, he takes a chance then. Because, I mean, how many people is the wizard testing? There's my argument. Like, is anybody ever going to be worthy?
Sivana said there's, like, 47 cases since he's... of abduction since he was abducted.
That seems to be a problem.
That's what you could find. But I would think there are probably the hundreds of thousands. Because we're talking about kids from all over the world.
Probably just doesn't do like two a year. That's true.
Oh,
so like 47 in America.
Yeah. Is that time of the year? I need to get somebody in here? Let's open the phone book.
But the kids who are all called, they're called in for a certain reason. There's something about them that gets them onto the train or onto the Rock of Eternity in the first place.
Well, yeah, but for Billy, it was that good act of helping his foster brother out and kicking their asses.
I did like that. See, I thought the school stuff was fantastic.
Yeah. And, like, you felt really bad when he... Because I think it has a lot of the same beats as Big. And you just like, oh, I'm an adult now. I don't have to care about your problems. So, like, it just... I feel like it feels realistic when he forgets about, like, the lunch thing promise he was going to do.
Right.
So I think that felt realistic.
Wasn't he busy during the lunch thing, saving people and getting
No, he was showing people his lightning fingers.
So he was doing stuff, you know?
But then when he came,
he was being silly.
He was showboating,
that's it.
Then he was busking.
He was busking. He was basically raising money for himself to spend on stuff.
But I think that's so true to the original character. I mean, he's selfish, so I think it fits.
But the one thing that a lot of older fans are saying to me is that the original Captain Marvel, when he transformed, or Billy Batson transformed into Captain Marvel, he was imbued with the powers of the seven gods that Shazam talks about, you know, the wisdom of Solomon and all that. So he's smarter.
Yes.
As Captain Marvel. So as a result, he's a bit more mature. He's still basically a kid in an adult body, but he also has the wisdom of Solomon, which would tell him not to do stupid things.
Yes. Obviously not in this film.
No, that doesn't fit with this story. This story is we need him to be kid-like and... I'd actually say one of the great things about this movie is that there is character growth.
Yes.
Which we don't see in a lot of superhero group movies. Billy Batson has character growth as Billy Batson, meeting his mother and finding out what happened there. I'm not going to spoil that part, but, you know, like, learning that he can rely on the family that he's made as opposed to the actual family he came from.
True.
And then on top of that, as Shazam, as an adult superhero, he discovers a way to defeat the villain by relying on other people. That it isn't just him.
Now, I had no issues with the casting in this film at all. I thought the family was perfectly cast.
Yeah.
From the little girl.
I thought it was definitely the diversity handbook.
Yeah, for sure, but I didn't care. It had Dora the Explorer in it.
No, it was fine. I liked all the characters, but they basically said, let's make sure that we have a Hispanic girl, a Hispanic boy, a black girl, a teenage girl.
But that was fine, I
think. You know, a kid with a disability, you know, all of that.
But I liked when the little girl was the bigger girl version of herself talking to Santa Claus and telling her what she wanted. I was crying.
I honestly thought that was Alexander Shipp. Like, Megan Good doesn't age.
Mm. No. And Adam Brody finally gets to be a superhero.
There you go. Well, he's supposed to be in the George Martin version. That's the Flash.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
And I thought, like the adult versions of them, like, really, like the way they acted it, like, and just true to the characters, I thought that was, like, a cool, like, acting thing. Mm-hmm.
So,
like how, like Adam Brody was still like, oh, wow, you're my first villain that I'm fighting. This is so exciting.
I just
the whole thing when they were fighting down by the condos at the lakeshore,
Yeah, that's not, he couldn't hear him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was hysterical.
He's like, I can't hear you. I'm going to kill you.
Are you monologuing right now?
I don't know what you're saying.
All right, I'm just going to kill you. I'm just going to attack you.
I thought it was brilliant. I think this film got the essence of Shazam. CC Beck would have hated it, but he hates everything. And I quite enjoyed it. I think it's a wonderful film.
And it's good that Billy Batson's mom wasn't named Martha. So that's the
yes.
I was hoping. I was hoping.
Martha.
I liked the end credits. There's a mid credits and an end credits. The end credits is fun. The mid credits was set up.
Okay, who is that Jiminy Cricket looking fuck?
Mr. Mind.
Oh, I've heard of him. I was like, who is this Jiminy Cricket guy? I think it was Sir
Singing. I love that character. I thought that was fantastic. And that completely is, that's like original Captain Marvel.
Okay, cool.
Stuff.
If you're
I don't read any comics.
Okay.
I'd like to.
I have an idea for you, Dan. Go on YouTube, look up Shazam animated series, and type in Mr. Mime. It'll probably show you a clip of him in action.
There's a great Teen Titans Go clip that's online where the Teen Titans meet Shazam. And it's basically the Teen Titans Go characters meet Shazam. And he's like, I'm gonna say your name. Shazam turns into a kid. They're like, oh, awesome. Say your name. And he's like, I'm not saying my name. And he's like, come on, what's your name? And they just keep goading him into saying Shazam and transforming back. And he's like, come on, I have to stop Mr. Mind here, the Venusian worm that's leading the Monster Society of Evil against the world. And then they go look in, and there's a little worm, and he's like, I am here to destroy you all. You're all mine. And then they say, Shazam again. He transforms back to Billy. He's like, damn it. Well, how can you make me do that? And then the little worm is gone. He's like, oh, your worm got away. Not the early bird.
I love it.
Okay.
Intern, anything else in Shazam?
No, I enjoyed it as much as Kevin and Daniel did. It was in the theater. I saw it, and like, it was full, and everybody was having so much fun with it, and I was really enjoying it too. So, that's
how many of you saw The Rock's Instagram video?
None.
Nobody.
No. Nope.
Oh, okay, so the Rock was an executive producer on Shazam.
Yes,
he was.
And he's supposed to play Black Adam, which is Black Adam's Shazam's opposite number.
Sequel.
Yes, so they basically, well, actually what they want to do is, Shazam was so successful that they're fast-tracking a sequel to Shazam, but they're also doing a Black Adam origin movie. And then they're going to have Black Adam and Shazam will face off in Shazam number 4, I guess, or the series number 4.
Oh. So they're already planning 3 more movies?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's like freaking Godzilla and Kong building.
Well, basically, yeah. It's basically saying that, in a way, Shazam is like the face of the new DCU. I mean, it didn't make as much money as Aquaman. I think it's made maybe a third of it.
Really? So, yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah, I looked online. It's only, it's just under $300 million, so it's about a third of the way to the billion-dollar club that Aquaman hit. No competition in December. Because Disney chose to not release anything except Mary Poppins.
I mean, Holmes and Watson was its only competition.
Holmes and Watson.
Prodigy of justice right there.
One day some of us will see it.
I've seen it.
I figure you
have. Okay.
Do it next time.
I figure when it's on Netflix or something. All right, so anyone else want to add anything about Shazam?
Nope, I'm good.
Well, one thing, I liked how the Savannah kind of paralleled Billy's. Like, they were both not wanted by the parents, and they just took completely surpassed. I thought that was interesting.
So hold on a second. I just have a question. So everybody, the six of them now can say Shazam and turn into their counterpart, their Captain Marvel counterparts, right?
No. Not necessarily. Oh. So Billy has shared his powers with them.
Funny.
So when they're around Billy, Billy says the word, then they can say the word and share in his power.
Okay.
Oh.
And, going back to the original comics where Freddie Freeman was Captain Marvel Jr., right?
Right, but he said Captain Marvel.
Right, he said Captain Marvel, and when they, and I'm sorry, I'm going back to the comics, because when they invited, when the Titans invited him into the, he says, well, what's your name? He couldn't say it.
Right.
So he had to say, like, CM3 or whatever, because he couldn't say his own name.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, and all the different characters had a different word, which was their magic word.
Correct. I remember Mary Marvel's.
Right. So maybe that's something they need to set up in the new series, because I've been reading the new comic series that follows. And essentially, when Billy's not around, they can't transform.
Uh-huh.
Oh. So, oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't get that sense either.
But if they had transformed into the character and Billy's not there, they stay as that character. They stay as the adult version.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah, so they literally just have to be there to share in the power. He's like, you have to think of Shazam as like a well, or the Billy Batson version, the adult version. He's like a well of magic power. And so when you're nearby and he's given you access to it, then you can transform and become like him.
So it's sort of like the Speed Force.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
But if you're by yourself, you have no access to the conduit.
Oh, I didn't know transform. That. Okay.
That's something in the comics right now. Now, they may change that later on. They may give them the magic word or whatever the case that allows them to access it.
It used to be that way. Like, if Freddy was nowhere near Billy, if they weren't together, and he could still transform. But now, this way, you're saying that he can't.
Right, for now. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Unless there's something that they find on the Rock of Eternity that allows them to keep the power more permanently with a magic word. That allows them to contact, to access the power when Billy's not around.
Okay.
So, which is, I think, something that they could do in the sequel.
Yeah.
That it can establish that. Because I think in the first issue of the comic, there's something that happens at a museum. So they all run down to transform and be part of it. Mm-hmm. But then they also can't, like, if they're at home, they can't say Shazam and turn into that and fly and meet him at the museum. They have to run down to the museum, see him there, and then say the word, and then transform.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's interesting. It's just ground rules for now.
Yeah. They should change the ground rules.
They probably will, but as I said, for now, that's it. Until they learn more about what it is they are. And they'll explore. I think they're going to explore the magic land. So when the worm says, "We're going to take over the seven realms of magic," there's a map on the Rock of Eternity which shows the various lands. Like one of the lands which they're exploring in Shazam right now is Funlands, which is a giant amusement park where the only food is candy and popcorn and milkshakes and things like that. It's where all the kids who've lost their parents or been abandoned end up.
That sounds like the Pinocchio story of where they end up.
It's very much. It's almost exactly like that, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yep. All right,
okay.
So.
Moving on to
what's
the next
one?
Dumbo, directed by Tim Burton, starring Colin Farrell, Danny DeVito, Michael Keaton, Eva Green, Alan Arkin, Nico Parker, and Finley Hobbins.
You're up there.
Well, can fly.
So who saw this one?
Me and Dan.
Hey, you want to start, Simon? You want me to?
Yeah, I'll go. I will start right off the beginning. This is Dumbo. I saw this movie. It's called Dumbo 1942. And all they did was show
like
me the Dumbo movie in 45 minutes and then repeated the Dumbo movie for another 45 minutes. Absolutely painful.
I can't remember movies that old from when I was younger, so I don't remember any like the classic Disney. But
it's
like,
all here. You saw the Dumbo movie, exactly the Disney cartoons movie we saw.
And it's. I mean, I don't mind Tim Burton, but there wasn't anything that fits his style here, and it was just dull. Like, really, really boring.
Oh, I have to disagree. I think it definitely is a Tim Burton style. At least I can see it. Like, when Eva Green shows up, that's Tim Burton right there.
But Simon, you hate watching, like, repeats of the same movie.
Well, this is a repeat of the cartoon Dumbo to a T. Literally, they show me a 45 minutes of the cartoon, and then they sell Dumbo to Michael Keaton, and they do the same movie again. I'm like, I just watched this film. They introduce, obviously, new characters. They have, instead of a mouse, we have Colin Farrell, who really adds nothing to the plot. His kids are more interesting than he is. But again, they have nothing to do. They introduce Eva Green. Her big job is to ride Dumbo around. Okay. And goes, Dumbo, we both need this. Because they're both, Michael Keaton's in charge of both of them and owns them both.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the only thing Tim Burton about this was like that horror scene, like in the, when they were trying to ship Dumbo's mom away.
Yeah, and I just like, okay, oh, and then tomorrow we're getting rid of the mob. I'm like, oh, yeah. Keep twirling the mustache, Michael Keaton. Nobody in this film cares.
Yeah, but, I agree. Because it's like just Michael Keaton like, oh, I'm going to give your guys jobs, but no, I just want the elephant. And like, I'm doing this because I'm Michael Keaton. I can do it because I'm Michael Keaton. I don't know.
And that was really it. I mean, the whole second half of the movie is pretty much he has his own circus. It's bigger than Danny DeVito's circus. And he needs more money to keep it going.
Yeah, and I felt like the Colin Farrell, like, Eva Green, like, connection was, like, basically Greatest Showman.
Yes.
But without the music.
100%. And I'm like Greatest Zac Showman Efron did it better.
Yeah. She's even a trapeze artist.
Yeah. Dang. I'm with you. I thought the end of the film was terrible. Like, I didn't care at the end of the film. Did you care about the ending of this film at all?
when they go back to, like, Africa?
Yes.
And, like, I just thought about Tarzan. Like, is this water sanitary? I don't know. I mean, I saw this last week, and I can barely remember it.
Well, I was thinking, like, they have the big ending what happens to Michael Keaton's circus. There's that ending.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted the film end there, but I'm like, no, it's a Disney film. We're going to have to see what happened with Dumbo and his mom. We're going to have to go there.
Yeah.
And I just don't care. I'm like, nobody in here has anything to do.
Yeah, like, Dumbo looks cute, but yeah, it's not a good
movie. But he clearly looks CGI'd. It stands out so far in me. I'm just like, wow. Like, it's obviously he's CGI'd.
Yeah, I mean, they won't have a real elephant that flies.
I understand that, but it didn't look real in any way. Usually CGI, they can mix it in so it looks a little bit more real to me, but this one, it just stood out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fair. I mean, I definitely wouldn't have believed, like the tiger and Life of Pi, like, seamless.
Yes.
Okay, I see what you mean, yeah.
And I just didn't like the film. I thought it was just a rehash of the cartoon done twice over.
I just think, like, even if the elephant couldn't, like, Dumbo couldn't fly, I still probably wouldn't believe, like, it's a real elephant, because it just seems too small.
Yeah, I think this film is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's nothing more than a 5 for me, and I think that's being kind.
And I gave it a 4, because I thought it looked nice at times. I love Michael Keaton. I thought he did a perfect job with, like, I thought the actors did what they could with what they had, but none of them raised the bar on the script.
Yeah,
like, Keaton tries, but there's no, he's got nothing to do other than twirl his mustache.
And then Danny DeVito's just being, like, little penguin guy.
Yes. You got it. I thought DeVito did good. I like DeVito being the grumpy circus guy.
Yeah, the cast was fine. Like, they did what they were told. Like, getting Alan Arkin shows up for a bit. I thought the Farrier's daughter, like, Farrell's daughter, was the most interesting.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and she was pretty good. Like, I think I'm kind of excited to see what she does next.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But other than that, it's like, eh.
Okay.
And I'm not surprised, though, that, like Beauty and the Beast made so much money, and then this made, like, what, $40 million in its opening? That feels like a bomb for Disney.
I'm done with these. I don't want to see Aladdin. I don't want to see Lion King.
Aladdin doesn't look interesting, but, I mean, I watch Lion King. But I think Aladdin's going to make money because, like, for Dumbo, it came out in 1948. There's no nostalgia for, like, my people my age to go and see it.
Aladdin's, like, one of my favorite Disney's, probably the top 5.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't want to see it. And Lion King is probably my favorite cartoon, and I have no interest in seeing it.
Aladdin's?
No, Aladdin's top five. Lion King's probably my favorite.
Oh, sorry.
Little Mermaid's too, I would say.
Okay.
But I just have no interest in seeing any more live-action remakes. I give me something new, but Disney shareholders want cash, so they keep making this crap.
Maybe Dumbo will make them realize, okay, like, so maybe the ones from the 40s and the 50s isn't the way to go.
Well, I like the remake Three Caballeros. I want a live-action version of Three Caballeros.
I don't even know which one that's honest.
Like number two. Oh, wow. It's 1932, 33.
Oh, okay.
When they go to Tijuana and learn to dance.
No.
Like a live action on that one? Or like a
no, I want a live action version of that.
Okay.
No, you're really
I'd like to see obscure Disney like ones be remade like live action, but like there's just no money in it.
Come on, let's bring back Songs of the South with Uncle Remus.
Or like even the Fantasia one. Like yeah. Fantasia 2000 with like the big... Yeah, that would be cool CGI.
There we go. Oh, Dan, yeah, anyway. You run into your doppelganger lately?
No, I mean, I haven't. I had one, like, when I was younger, but I haven't seen him for a while. Have you seen yours? Are they wearing red, Simon?
No, mine's wearing a Extra Features podcast shirt. I'm a little confused. Which are available at our store for $25. I wonder what happened to my extra one. I think he stole it.
Ooh, that plug, though. Us, directed by Jordan Peele, starring Lupita Nyong'o, Winston Duke, Shahidi Wright-Joseph, Evan Alex, Elizabeth Moss, Tim Heidecker, and Yahya Abdul-Mateen II.
The second, because somebody could name that the first. Yeah, okay.
I'm back. Sorry, guys.
It's all right. We're on us.
I got an emergency phone call from the boss. So.
Yeah, oh, no, yeah. Honestly, I didn't realize you left. You're good.
Well, I hadn't seen Dumbo, so I kind of kept quiet.
I know.
Did you guys review another movie?
We're on Us.
We're starting Us right now.
Okay, I haven't seen Us either, so.
Okay, go back to the boss. Okay, continue, okay. Dan. This is your kind of movie, Dan. Right up your alley.
Yeah. Man, this one was, like, fascinating.
Here we go.
Oh, okay. And I thought the tension was there, like, a lot of the time, especially, like, the ballet kind of, like, the, I got five on it, like, that score near the end, and I thought the home invasion aspect was great, and the whole doppelganger thing was great, and I don't know, like, this is Jordan Peele's second movie, and if he's making movies like this on his second one, I think that's really exciting, and I thought it was funny, and I thought it was scary, and I thought Peele found, like, a good balance between it, and I also thought the acting was really good.
Okay, let's start. I like the acting. I have no issues with the acting.
Okay.
I have issue with the basic premise. What are the Tethered supposed to be doing other than killing us? Is that their only plan, to take over our lives so they can have their lives?
Well, I didn't really get that. Lupita Nyong'o's doppelganger, like, led this charge.
Right, but it wasn't her doppelganger. We're going to ruin us just so people know. That's the real Lupita Nyong'o. Want her life back.
Wait, what?
The real Lupita Nyong'o's eating raw rabbits, right?
Yeah, so we're spoiling it?
I'm going to, because I have to get this point across.
Kevin, if you don't want to hear this, major spoiler.
That's okay. I spoil movies for myself all the time.
You guys, he's already read the end of Endgame, so don't worry.
I can tell you what happened.
No.
I told you about it.
No. Do not.
He's not going to.
That's my most anticipated movie of the year. I'm like, no, don't do it. Okay. So basically, Lupita Nyong'o, at the beginning of the movie, So young Adelaide wanders off into, like, a funhouse mirror.
Right.
And she sees...
herself.
Her doppelganger. And what's revealed at the end of the movie is that the Adelaide that we see, she's actually the one... She's actually the Tethered. And the Adelaide doppelganger that's coming for revenge is trying to get her life back.
Yes. Now, I got some questions here.
Okay.
Okay, so the fake Lupita Nyong'o can have kids, so they're exact copies of us in every way.
Yeah, so I think at the end she says that, like, she theorizes that, like, they made, like, DNA of humans and put them down and just forgot about them.
Well, see, to me, I had problems with that line right there. I wanted that fleshed out a little bit more.
Okay, that's fair. So you wanted more of an answer?
I needed an answer throughout this film. What the Tethered were doing other than killing people. I understand they were trying to take over USA. I get that.
I just think...
But how many could they have made? Really? I think it was... I had so many problems with the amount of Tethered there were. I'm like, this is not possible.
So you didn't think that many people could fit under, like, a subway?
That like, many of them? No.
No.
I understood maybe a city or a town. I would have given them.
I think maybe, like... Yeah, maybe, like, that subway station is just for that beach, and then there's more around the world, or more
and
around
people forgot about this? I couldn't believe that.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, that's fair. Like, the mount, because, like, they came up and were killing, like, everyone.
And how many bunnies are they getting?
Yeah, who keeps giving the bunnies? I mean, I guess like, the bunnies just appropriate and then they eat them?
Yes, but I mean, and what is the point of the Tether? What's their final plan? To take over the planet?
Well, Adam Lade, like, saw, like, the commercial for Hands Across America.
Right.
And she just thought that was, like, that was one thing she remembered from her childhood. That was like, okay, we have to make a statement that it's our time on the world now.
So, here's my question. If we have an us too, which I don't think we can.
No, I don't think.
Does Russia just come in and nuke USA to kill all the Tethered? How do I know if a Tether's a Tethered or a real person?
They're wearing red.
But the fake Adelaide is not wearing red, and she's a Tethered.
But she adapted. Like, see, like, she came, she learned, I guess. And I mean, she took, I don't know how long it took her to learn how to talk, but, like, she's, like, more advanced, I think. And just the people down below, they're, like, what's the word? Like, they have, like, animal instinct. They're just, like cavemen kind of thing, right? And they can't talk. And then she's the only one, like, original ally is the only one to talk. And like, that's why they're drawn to her.
Do you see why I'm having issues?
Yeah.
I have a big problem with the end of this film. I liked it. I get times I thought, oh, this is kind of neat. I like the concept. The family escapes. So how do I tell who's a real person and who's not a real person at the end of the film? That's my problem is the end of the film. I'm like, I need a distinct ending. I'm sure I have to.
Like everyone besides Adelaide is wearing red.
Yeah.
That's how you decipher, I guess.
I don't know. I can't. I know you loved us. I know people love us. I just couldn't get over the ending. It just did not do it to me.
I still like Get Out better than it.
Oh, Get Out, I thought it was a much better film.
Yeah, but I still love, like, I really, really love us.
I did like The White Family with Elizabeth Moss and Tim Heidecker. I thought it was fabulous.
It's for your sake.
The uppies. Look at my boat.
Winston Duke is great. Like, there was Lupita Nyong'o, though. Like, I was, like, when she, like, when her double, like, starts, like, saying, like, once upon a time, like, that voice was, like, really creepy from the word go.
It took me, I didn't realize they were the same people playing both characters for a few minutes until I started
doing really?
It took me a few minutes to figure it out.
Okay, yeah, I mean, just the doubles are kind of, like, I mean, some, like, Lupita Nyong'o, she was the best at playing, like, both sides.
Yes.
And then other ones were, and then, like, the daughter was just kind of putting on a creepy smile, and the same for, like, the twins, for, like, Heidecker's kids.
Yes.
But, like, I thought Heidecker was, like, great as his, because, yes. Like, when he was on the boat, like, I'm like, oh, where'd you go? That was great. And, like, the music was great, too. Like, when he was like, oh, call the police, like, okay, playing Fuck the Police by...
Yes! NWA, loved
yeah,
it.
NWA, yeah.
Big NWA fan. Yeah, yeah, I think this movie's watchable. I don't know, I want to see what people think of the ending.
I think you'd like it, Kevin.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't know many people love it. but I'm not. I don't know.
For the record, my mom thought it was the worst she's seen. But
wow.
I mean, I think she sometimes her memory's not the greatest, so I think she just forgot like about a lot of worse movies that she's seen. I don't know. But yeah, no, I don't think it's anywhere near like the worst you'll see. But definitely, like, if you want more answers, like at some parts, like it's vague and it would help. But like, I've seen this twice, and the second time it's a good experience on the second view too.
Okay, what are we doing? Let's get the intern involved. What men want? Cast list, please.
Starring Teresa P. Henson, Kevin Lutz, Max Greenfield, and Tracy Morgan. I didn't really see anyone else.
Bob, you there?
Bobby.
Okay. What Men Want, your film you added?
Yeah. What about it? It's basically the same as What Women Want with Mel Gibson, but I thought this was better done than the one with Mel Gibson. Because I'm not a fan of Mel Gibson, really, but I thought Rebel Wilson did a better job with the character and the story.
Wait, no. Isn't it romantic?
No.
Sorry, you said Rebel Wilson. I'm confused.
You're talking about Taraji B. Henson, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, you're confusing me. Bob, I have to disagree with you. I thought the film was terrible. I thought.
What are we talking about?
What Women Want? What Men Want?
What Men Want? Okay, Taraji did a better job than Mel. Okay.
Oh, I have to disagree with you 100%. I thought the jokes were all really rude. Really, like men don't think like that 24/7, and I'm sure women don't think like that 24/7. I thought it was just bad setups after a while. Like, just basic concept, basic rudeness, basic this, and the ending was dumb, too. Never could get into it. I tried. I like Taraji B. Henson. I usually don't have any issues with her. I just thought the film was terribly written. Very stereotypical. I thought the jokes all fell flat. I thought her assistant was terrible. I felt bad for him. Like, just having to read this stuff. I have to 100% disagree with you on this film.
Okay.
I think Mel Gibson does a phenomenal job. I think it's very good script writing in his. I find it crisp. I like the pacing. I find it funny.
Okay.
But if you hate that movie like this movie, then I understand. Because I hated this movie like the other movie. So I guess it's just a personal choice. And I can accept that. Okay, moving along, Dan. Next movie.
Mid-90s, directed and written by Jonah Hill, starring Sunny Suljic, Catherine Watterson, Lucas Hedges, Mikhail Smith, and Olan Pernet. Now, who's seen this one?
Kevin.
I've just finished watching it just now.
All four of us.
As we've done the thing.
Go ahead, Kevin.
So, yeah, everyone's seen it.
I don't know, so this kid in the mid-90s, he fights with his brother, and he wanders the streets and hangs around with these older kids who he worships, and I don't know, I didn't like this movie, I thought it was stupid. I didn't care about any of these skater kids, I didn't care about some of the characters that get into so much trouble. It's just like random youths wandering the streets of Los Angeles, causing troubles.
Correct.
And I think it was supposed to mimic some experiences of Jonah Hill, maybe?
Yeah.
And that kid is so mean to his mother.
Yeah.
Not very nice. I mean, I know there's rebellion and his kids asserting themselves and all that stuff, but, you know, like, you know, there's some nice moments at the end of the film after the car accident when they're in the hospital trying to, you know, cheer up the one guy that was recovering, but yeah. I don't know.
I thought that, like, I liked that part, but, like, I thought the ending was so abrupt. Like, I thought they'd finish watching the video and then, like, have a bit more, but then it's like, no, that's it, fam.
It was very gonzo. It was very, you know, shaky cam, hand cam, you know, just, like, let's go into the street and follow these kids around.
The whole movie, or sorry, just that, or that just that video?
Well, that video, but also the whole movie is kind of like a documentary.
Yeah, I thought the acting was very like, okay, this could just be documentary. Like, am I watching mid-90s or Minding the Gap kind of thing? And I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel because like the only person you recognize is Lucas Hedges, Sonny Soljak, and Catherine Roderson. And then everyone else. I think it's like the skaters. I think it's like their first roles. Like the guy who plays Fuck Shit.
Well, they're real skaters.
They are?
Yes, they're all real skaters. Right. They all can really skate. I finished this film and couldn't even tell you what I watched. I was so bored. I just felt numb by the end of this film. I said, I don't get this film. I have no interest in it. I thought the direction was poor at times. I mean, I like the guys that could skate, but I'd rather watch this movie with, like, Minding the Gap over this. I just thought this was pointless and had no direction.
I thought it was, like, it's just, like, I don't know. It's, like, what's the word? Like, the piece of life. I don't know what the phrase is. I'm stupid. It's just, like, a life experience kind of movie. Like, I think it's, like, what Jonah Hill experienced, and I feel like it's realistic because like nothing, it's uneventful because sometimes life is uneventful, I guess.
Why make a movie about it? Why make you sit through an hour and a half of uneventfulness?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely disappointing, but I mean, I thought there was a few good moments, like what's the main kid's name? I forget the character's name. But Sonny Soljak, like
Burn,
the mom tells him he can't handle
Sunburn?
It anymore. Yeah, Sunburn. Yeah, and then the buddy, like the main buddy, Ray, I think.
Yeah.
Like sits him down and tells him all their experiences and how like his shit like isn't anything compared to other people's shit. I thought that was a good scene, and I don't know, I really thought it was funny when Fuck Shit was like, oh, like we call him Fuck Shit because he says like, oh fuck shit, that was dope. And
yeah, all the time.
I think that was the best line of the movie. Like, fuck shit, that was dope. I don't know. But yeah, I didn't hate it, but it was definitely, I thought it would have more to it.
Intern?
Yeah?
What did you think?
Well, after just watching it while we're, like, I started watching it half hour before the show, before this episode started, and I continued watching it, and I got more bored as it went on. Like just watching it as we're doing the show, and I'm going. I'm agreeing with Simon because like, why make it? There was no point.
Oh, I agree with you. I don't see a point to this film in any way. I absolutely hated it.
I started falling asleep within the last about 20 minutes.
And it got all these great reviews.
Yes, and I don't know why.
I think it's just, like, realistic storytelling, I guess. Just, like, that it feels like a documentary, but it's, like, it could be a documentary, but it's, like, a drama. Mm-hmm. The one thing I didn't really like about it was, like, Lucas Hedges playing the mean character doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I don't care.
were they brothers? Like, were they playing brothers or something?
Yes.
Because at the start of the movie, I saw the Sonny get pushed into the wall or something. By him, I'm going. Oh, this is brother. This is what happens when you get brothers.
Yeah,
not all brothers, but some brothers.
Yeah, but he was weird. Brother. Like his character, and I mean, like I think at the end, where like he gives him one of his orange juice, and I guess because he really likes orange juice, that means he loves you. I don't know.
Okay, so what's next on the list?
Fighting with my family. Starring Dwayne Johnson, Lena Headey, Nick Frost, and Florence Pugh. I don't know who else, but
I didn't see this one.
Me neither.
Bob, go ahead.
Okay. Florence Pugh plays, like, the character of age, right?
Yes.
Growing up and wanting to be a wrestler, like, the Rock and everyone, even meets the Rock in the process of this. I was interested and not interested at the same time. I mean, like,
totally agree.
It's your backstory of what?
I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Oh, so you liked it and didn't like it at the same time?
Correct. Keep going. I'll get into it.
Okay. All right. So parts I liked, like, were her growing up and wanting to be a wrestler. But then, like, some parts of it were boring because, like, the story started suffering and it started getting more or less interesting at the same time.
I thought it was just a basic biopic. Like, it would have scenes that was interesting. I found her life boring. Like, this time in England, I had no interest in. I liked her parents, but again, I got the point early. I didn't need 4 hours of this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it seemed like 4 hours. But I like when she got the WWE. I thought the training sessions were interesting. I liked those parts. Yeah. I like when she met The Rock. I thought that was interesting. And just, I mean, I didn't care about her bonding with the Divas. I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
I'm just like, eh. I like the side story with her brother and how Vince Vaughn's character explained why they didn't take his brother.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
They didn't take his brother because it was the same backstory as what happened.
But I like that when his brother goes pissed off and he's driving around England and he didn't want to help out the kids anymore and this and that. I thought that was an interesting part of the story. But overall, I mean, it's your basic biopic. I think it's a good Netflix movie. If it ended up on Netflix as opposed to the theater, I think it would have been fine. But I really don't think it should have made theaters. I don't think it was that good a film. Bob? Anyone? Hello?
What do you think?
I don't know.
Okay, we're all here. I don't know what happened to him. Okay, continuing on. Let's go to Highwaymen so we don't miss that.
Yeah, starring Kevin Costner, Woody Harrelson, Kathy Bates for like 5 minutes, John Carroll Lynch, Thomas Mann, and Kim Dickens also for like 5 minutes.
All right, I'll kick off on this one. Basically, Bonnie and Clyde are on a kill spree, robbing and whatever, and people are treating them like folk heroes. The government wants to stop them. The Texas law enforcement has had no luck whatsoever. So someone has the bright idea of finding a Texas marshal of well-known stature, where the Texas marshals were disbanded by the government a few years before that. And so...
By her.
By the governor, yes.
Yeah, she did.
So she reluctantly agrees to allow the Kevin Costner character to look into finding Bonnie and Clyde and figure out what's going on with them. And so he calls upon another old Texas Ranger played by Woody Harrelson, and then the two of them go on the look. So the Texas Rangers used to wander around on horses and look for bad guys, and they were the law in Texas. So there was no, like, they were like wandering sheriffs in a sense. And they were above local law enforcement, so sort of like state enforcers in a sense. So so they find Bonnie and Clyde. So that's the movie.
Hold on. Let's back this up a bit. I found this movie slow moving.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's an over 2 hour running time. It needs a good 30 minutes chopped.
Yeah, 2 hours chopped.
I disagree. I loved it. I thought every minute was fantastic. Oh my, really? I liked the character moments. This was a rare Netflix movie where I was enthralled the entire time. And I love the fact that being on Netflix, I could research as I was watching the film.
I did the same thing. I will admit. My problem is the beginning. The beginning when the Kim Dickens part just took forever. Getting out of the house, I'm like, come on, let's go. And then when he picks up Woody, I'm like, let's go.
But the world moved at a different speed.
The other half is fine. I just had to get through that first half an hour. Killed me.
And, I mean, I thought Kevin Costner was fantastic. I thought Woody just played Woody. He's always good.
I thought my favorite was that red-haired kid that makes Kevin Costner run around.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was hysterical. Yeah. I thought that was really well done. Come on, catch me, old man.
Yeah.
And I liked those scenes. I like how they caught Bonnie and Clyde and figured out how to do it and how they were tracking them. That was fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I love the modern law enforcement guys were like, well, we do things now with tracking and modern equipment.
They had like phones or something, like walkie-talkies. Yeah. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, like you wouldn't have any idea how to do this. And these guys are showing them.
Yeah, it was kind of funny that way. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I thought actually finding Bonnie and Clyde and like that was interesting. But yeah, I like Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson, but it's a different angle to tell the Bonnie and Clyde story. But I find it stupid that you're telling a Bonnie and Clyde movie with only like 10, like they're more like a MacGuffin. They're chasing them, and it's like only. Not even 10 minutes of Bonnie and Clyde.
They are, and if you watch if you watch the Bonnie and Clyde movie, this is like the exact opposite.
Yeah,
it's basically the reality is they were kids, they were tiny. They really were not the folk heroes that they were made out to be. They were just a bunch of kids who got lucky and had good friends that covered for them.
Yeah, I never watched the Faye Dunaway one. But it's all like the miniseries with Emil Hirsch.
You need to see that movie.
The people of the 30s treated them like they were Robin Hood.
Well, you see that when the Bonnie and Clyde show up that one scene and they catch them. They see them for the first time and they can't even get a shot at them because all the people around the car.
Yeah. The people who had a different, because there was a depression and so forth. And people also loved the gangster movies were a big deal back then.
Let's go back. I'm going to go to the very last scene of the film. Mm-hmm. They pumped this thing through so many holes. I couldn't believe how many shots they fired into that car.
Yeah, they weren't messing around because...
And then they drove ahead and it's like, oh no, they're not dead. Boom, boom.
Yeah, because Bonnie and Clyde, especially, I mean, they were ruthless. I mean, and they went to great lengths to show that. But, you know, when she shoots the police officer in the head.
Well, Costner talks about that immensely. He had the bullets in his hand.
Yeah.
And he keeps talking about that. So Costner's pissed off the whole movie at them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think the Costner Harrelson characters were interesting, to be honest.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Performances were good, but I just don't think I care enough to rank this.
I agree. I like John Carroll Lynch, but again, he had nothing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I like John Carroll Lynch. I like Kathy Bates. I like Kim Dickens, but they're like, hey, you guys want to be in this movie for not even 10 minutes?
Hey, it's money, man. That's all they're doing it for. It's a paycheck. Sounds good, movie. Bro. Yeah, that's it. It's like, thank you, bro, for showing up.
Wait, John Lee Hancock, he did The Founder, too, right? So maybe that's why John Carroll Lynch was in it?
Probably. He was in that you're right. He is in The Founder. For a lot.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Maybe they're buddies, and he's like, okay, yeah, I'll show up.
And I love The Founder. I thought The Founder was a great movie. Too. I like this guy.
Yeah, I was big on The Founder, but did John Lee Hancock do The Blind Side, or is that someone else?
I have no idea.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know, buddy. Fair enough. Yeah, he did do The Blind Side. I love The Blind Side.
There you go. All
right, so is that it?
That's it. That's all the time we got.
Okay.
Right. We'll have to do the other films on the next one. We only missed two, so that's fine.
A couple.
So do you want to... hey, Dan, if somebody wanted to email us, how would they email us?
extrafeatures@gmail.com.
Good work, Dan.
gmail.com.
And what else do we have on the site, Dan?
What?
We have interviews.
We have interviews. We have 20 minutes with Chad,
yes.
A filmmaker that Simon really, Simon likes doing all the podcasts. We have interviews. We have this show that we're bringing to you right now. I'm not good with improv.
I know. I love that you. Okay. And if they make it?
Simon makes me babble.
Perfect. Goodbye, everyone. Hey, thank you for listening. Could you please give us an iTunes review? And also, if you'd like to donate, please do so at our homepage.